Welcome to Agape Ministries Podcasts, a whole new way of thinking. Episode 32, Part 1 of James Finlay's teaching on Contemplation, Confidence and Fulfillment.
I am very pleased to be here and to be able to share these reflections with you. Two initial thoughts. When I was coming up here to the pulpit about 10 minutes ago, just to get a sense of it, and I turned around and was going down the stairs, on the screen was a photograph of a sheep barn at Gethsemane, where I lived as a kind of part-time hermit. And it was a nice synchronistic moment to see the old sheep barn here in Orange. My second thought is, I recall during part of my work I was doing in my own psychotherapy, working through my issues around fears of public speaking. And being up here in this place, in this pulpit, is like a nightmare I would have during those things. But I feel just fine, actually. I'd like to, as was indicated, speak here for about 45 minutes. And then we will sit for about 5-8 minutes or so, silent meditation. And then open it up for dialogue, any questions, concerns, that kind of thing. And I'd like to start first with a brief biographical sketch of Merton, for those who might not be familiar with his life, how I personally became involved with Merton, and then to share with you some reflections on what I think to be Merton's role in helping us to understand and to seek to be more faithful to a contemplative way of life in the midst of the world, understanding what that means to do that, the relevance of that, and how we might be faithful to that. Thomas Merton was born in France in 1915. There's no significant religious influence from his parents in terms of any significant religious tradition. If anything, it'd say kind of slightly suspicious of institutional forms of religion. Both parents died when he was young. He went to Cambridge University for a short time, was kind of involved in wild escapades involving drinking and womanizing. And the caretakers were concerned about him and sent him to Columbia, to New York, where we thought the people there could keep a better eye on him. He attended Columbia University, and while there had a religious conversion experience. As a result of that religious conversion experience, he felt interiorly called to leave what was probably a very promising career in literature and academics to be a cloistered monk. And he entered the cloistered Trappist monastery of the Abbey of Gethsemane in Kentucky. And when he entered the monastery, he wrote his autobiography, The Seven Story Mountain. And The Seven Story Mountain went on the New York Times bestsellers list. And Thomas Merton became one of the most widely read and widely known, respected, I think, religious thinkers of our time. And certainly, I think, an inspiration and a source of consolation to many people. I first encountered Thomas Merton when I was 14 years old. It was 1958. And I read a book he wrote as a journal he wrote in the monastery called The Sign of Jonah. And was very moved by that. And so when I graduated from high school in 1961, I left my home in Akron, Ohio, and I entered the monastery where I lived as a member of the community until January of 1967. When I left in 1967, Thomas Merton, at that time, was allowed to live in the hermitage full time. They built a hermitage for him on the grounds of the monastery, and he lived there until his trip to Asia, to Bangkok, in 1968, where he died of electrocution in Bangkok, what was considered to be accidental electrocution in Bangkok. And he went there because he was one of the Christian monastics and theologians who was interested in very serious Buddhist-Christian dialogue. And he felt that Christians, by studying the non-Christian contemplative traditions, could rediscover the mystical contemplative roots of their own tradition. And in that spirit then, he went to Asia where he died. When I returned to my home, I started teaching religion in the public, in the Catholic schools, and got married, and I was still very interested in living a contemplative way of life that I was introduced to at the monastery. And so I began a serious reading of Thomas Merton for spiritual guidance. And out of that, I wrote Merton's Palace of Nowhere, which is a study of Merton's understanding of the true self beyond ego, the self hidden with Christ and God forever, the unborn self. And with that book, began to give meditation retreats throughout the United States and Canada, which in effect then has led up to me being here right now. See? And what I would like to do here is share with you what have been some of the most deeply significant aspects of Merton's influence on my life, which I also believe to be some of the most significant aspects of what he has to teach us about a contemplative way of life in the midst of today's world. And by a contemplative way of life, and I would make this then as my first point for us to consider. A contemplative way of life is a way of life that's imbued with contemplative experience. And maybe a common way that we all have a sense of the word contemplative is, say if we're in an art museum, or say if someone comes in here who has never been here before, and they come in alone, and they come in, and there's something about the spacious presence here that invites a person to slow down, settle in, and quietly contemplate being here. So contemplation is an interior state of quiet attentiveness, a kind of reverential, quiet attentiveness, which in the Christian tradition is then seen to be a state that evokes or invites a contemplative experience of God. That is, it's a state of inner awareness, transcending thought, transcending memory, transcending the emotions, in which one intimately realizes within oneself that a mystery that transcends us, this, the mystery that's evoked in this archetypal structure, that the mystery that transcends us is revealing and giving itself as the very reality of us. That's the mysterious thing, that the mystery we call God, the presence that's infinitely beyond us, in moments of quiet contemplative attentiveness, we realize that the mystery that transcends us is revealing and giving itself as the very reality of us. That somehow our very life, our very presence, is the presence of God, given to us in and as our very presence, What's stunning about it is the intimacy of it, like God closer to us than we are to ourselves. And I'd like to read here a passage from Thomas Merton to kind of bear witness to this kind of non-dual kind of ground of his teaching. Merton writes, and the reason I'm choosing this text is that the tone of the text is it bears witness that although we are not God, we are not other than God either. It bears witness to a oneness, which is the contemplative experience. Merton writes, the all, with a capital A, capital L, God, the all, existence itself, reality itself, God. The all is nothing. For if it were to be a single thing, separated from all other things, it would not be all. This is precisely the liberty that I have always sought, the freedom of being subject to nothing, and therefore to live in all, through all, for all, by Him who is all. In Christian terms, this is to live in Christ and by the Spirit of Christ. For the Spirit is like the wind blowing where He pleases. And He is the Spirit of truth, and the truth will make you free. Next text from Merton on this same founding theme of a non-dual realization of oneness with God in contemplation. Merton writes, God's presence is present in my own presence. If I am, then He is. And if in knowing that I am, if I penetrate to the depths of my own existence and my own present reality, the indefinable am that is myself in its deepest roots, then through this deep center I pass into the infinite I am, which is the very name of the Almighty. And so what we find here in Merton's writings is an affirmation that the infinite love that is the architect of our hearts, that God who creates us in our image and likeness forever, that the architect of our heart has made our heart in such a way that nothing less than an infinite union with infinite love will do. It's a setup. See, the setup by infinite love is that only an infinite union with the infinite love that is the origin of our life, the ground of our life, the fulfillment of our life, fulfills our heart. And so a deep question then is the question of forms of idolatry in which we attribute to anything less than infinite love the power or the authority to name who we are. The extent to which we deceive ourselves into imagining that anything less than an infinite union with an infinite love will satisfy us. And so Merton then bears witness to this great truth, kind of this foundational depth of religious consciousness, this, to be contemplatively awake to this oneness and to grow in this oneness day by day. Next point, I would think that is significant about Thomas Merton, his contribution, and it's indicated in the last text I read, is that Merton realized that since God creates us in the image and likeness of God, then we are our own way to God. That God creates us as a way to the infinite, Sometimes they speak of the Augustinian introversion in Thomas Merton, where Augustine says, that I might know thee, that I might know myself and thee, only this and nothing more, absolutely nothing more. That through the knowledge of myself, I come to the knowledge of God. And to the knowledge of God, I come to the knowledge of myself.
So thank you for taking the time to listen to these episodes. Our prayer is that as you listen and reflect on these teachings, that you'll be encouraged to continue your journey to maximize your potential to have a good and a happy life. So sign in again next week for more teaching on how you can follow the Jesus way to experience your life as filled with meaning, purpose, and joy. So God bless and stay safe.